show us who we are. Give us the opportunity to say, yes, that's me. Yes, I did it. Yes, I said it. But God, I repent. I repent, God. Wash me, God. Clean me, God. Clean me, God. I want to be a winner, God. I want to be a demonstration of what it means in the earth to win with you, God. Tonight, God, we say, we didn't get it twisted. We know our position in you, God. And we're asking you, God, for all those practices that keep us out of line with you, God, that we surrender them over to you. And we ask you to wash us, God, that we never have to walk down that road again. And when you show us another thing, Lord, we will say, yes, that's me, God. Yes, I said it. Yes, I did it. Clean me up, Jesus. Clean me up, Jesus. Because if we don't walk like winners, God, it's no point in us having a testimony to the world. The world won't come if they don't see you, God. Clean us up, Jesus. Clean us up, God. Clean us up, God. Remove pride, God. Remove stubbornness, God. Glory. Glory. We can't be your witness, God, unless we allow you to clean us up. We thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for your word that washes us. We thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit keeps us from going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, wasting time, losing souls. We ask your forgiveness tonight, God. We ask you, God, to forgive us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for every life that's been lived before us, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for the examples that you've given us. And in this day, in this generation, God, we make a vow that we will take what we've been taught and we will take it to the next level. In Jesus' name, glory. We magnify your name, Lord. We live like we magnify your name, Lord. Bless this place. Bless this house. Bless this pastor. Let your presence abide here, God. Let everybody in this neighborhood who does not know you, when they pass this place, know that the Spirit of God abides here and they can stop and get a word from the man and woman of God who you have assigned here, God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And as we go to our homes tonight, give us traveling grace, God. Give us safety, God. Go with us, God. And when our feet hit our own.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexander.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and verse 31. Isaiah, chapter 40, and verse 31. Recorded are these words. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, what do you do when God takes too long? What do you do when God takes too long? I know when we hear the subject, it almost seems difficult to put that kind of subject together, when the truth of the matter is all of us have had that experience where it has appeared that God has taken too long to show up. God has taken too long to heal. God has taken too long to deliver. God has taken too long to make a way. God has taken too long to answer. God has taken too long to give instruction. God has taken too long, and you know what your situation is. And so it's important for us to understand how we must respond when it appears that God takes too long to show up. You see, one of the reasons why Isaiah phrases this verse like this is because it's conspicuously obvious that he's talking about and referencing that there are others who could not, who would not, and who did not wait on the Lord. And I'll be honest here, and I'll admit to you, there have been times in my life when I didn't wait on the Lord. There have been times in my life when I thought God took too long, and as a result of God taking too long, I tried to do it myself. I shared with the Bible class this last Wednesday, you know, some of us don't understand that God don't need our help. When he makes a promise, he also has the power to perform it. And all we have to do is be patient. If God promised you something and he hadn't delivered it to you now, it's because you're not ready for it now. There are some things that God is working that may not make sense to you, but because he's dealing with everything and not just one thing, it may take a little extra time. And just like Abraham and Sarah, when they had been given the promise that they would be given the child of promise, and it was some 12 to 14 years and God had not delivered that promise, they took it upon themselves to help God out. And Sarah, I told the class Wednesday, did something that women won't do these days. She got her handmaid, her best girl, the one who could bring forth a child as a surrogate mother for her and Abraham. And they put their hands in it and messed it up until it was 25 years later before the promise came to fruition. You see, sometimes when you don't wait on the Lord, it actually takes you longer to get what it is God promised you. And so when you begin to look at this word and understand why people don't wait on God, may I suggest three reasons why they don't wait. First reason is they panic. Panic. You see, when one panics, they then take matters into their own hand. They discount God and his word and his promise. And so they feel like they've got to do it or it won't be done. They feel like time is running out on them and their options are running out on them. They feel like if they don't get it done now, it'll be too late. Even if they do get it, it'll be too late for them to enjoy it or to get the full benefit from it. So they panic, and in a panic, they rush out, yielded by their flesh and by their own desires and by the enemy himself. And they put themselves in harm's way, take away the covering of God, and make mistakes many times they're unable to rebound from. All because they panic, because they won't wait on God. Let me suggest, if it don't panic, then they become presumptuous. In presumptuous, they think that God either changed his mind or that they missed him. You know, when God takes too long sometime and you think he should have shown up at a certain time, in a certain place, in a certain situation, and it is not yet proven itself to be so, you start second guessing whether or not God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And so you begin to believe that you've missed God. This can't be God, because God wouldn't allow this to happen. You presume that God has changed his mind because you did something perhaps that you shouldn't have done, or you didn't do something that you should have done. But may I say to you, when he made the promise, he knew about all of that even at the beginning of time. God is not fickle like we are. God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't give it to you and take it back from you. God knows you better than you know yourself. And so when you get to the point where God doesn't answer when you think he should have answered you, you become presumptuous and allow the enemy to fill your head with all sorts of things that make you believe you've missed your blessing. And then may I suggest the third reason as to why people don't wait on God? And the third reason is pride. When people don't wait on God, it's because their pride won't let them. Well, what do you mean their pride won't let them? Well, if people say, God said, I'm going to give you this, and they start broadcasting and start shouting, start telling everybody, the Lord said he's going to do this, he's going to do that, and so forth, then people are put on alert and they're looking for it to happen. And when it doesn't happen, then you feel foolish. It's like God put me on Front Street. He had me shouting about what he was going to do for me, and I started telling everybody about it, and I thought I was going to have it by this time, and God has not delivered it. And so then we start becoming prideful and saying, well, you know what? He didn't show up when I thought he was supposed to show up. So then again, we start putting our hand in the matter. That's why the word cautions us about talking too much. The Bible says, a fool speaketh all of his mind, but a wise man keepeth in till afterwards. Some of you ought to hold up on all of that talk you're talking till the Lord delivers you and show you what he promised you. And so pride makes many of us then start acting out of self and become haughty and lifted up. And then we fall so low that we don't mind taking help from the enemy to try and make it appear as though it's God's blessing. Listen. See, when you turn from God, you automatically turn to Satan. There is no in between. It's either God or Satan. God or Satan. It's only one way or the other. And see, the devil will give you stuff that appears to be good. And he'll give you what's called fool's gold, because it shines and it looks good and it looks like gold, and you think that you've got it and all of this ought to line up, but it doesn't, because it's not what God promised you. And so as a result of that, pride makes you go looking for whatever it is God promised you, and the devil puts up an imitation of what God promised you. And so you start thinking, well, this must be God. Can I tell you, so many of us settle for stuff beneath us because of our pride. If God promised you this, then it's this, not something like this, but this he's going to do for you. If God promised you what he promises you, then he is capable of delivering it into your hand. But the people of God have got to understand, we cannot let pride bring us to a point where we settle for what looks good. We settle for what is next best. No, if God promised you something, he, first of all, he does and deals with nothing but that is good. So you know it's already qualified, because God said he'll give it to you. You don't even have to question the quality of it because of who it comes from. You do know some people know how to give good gifts. And you ain't got to be ashamed to open up the box, or you ain't got to be shy or scared, because you know they know how to give good gifts. And then there are others who don't know what a good gift is. And Satan many times gives us imitations and things that appear to be, because we settle for less than God's best because of our pride. Well, then the word says, but they that wait upon the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord. Here's what I need you to understand. That it's not easy to wait if some things are not in place. Let me give you a helpful holy hint as to what it takes for you to wait on the Lord. First thing is, you've got to be prayerful. Prayerful. Full of prayer. Not pray and stop, but be full of prayer. You see, when you communicate with God, you then wind up communing with God when your prayers are full, which means you don't give him the abbreviated version. You spend a little time talking to God, and God will spend time talking to you. You spend time waiting on God and communing with God, and God does something to you while he's waiting to do something for you. And so you've got to be prayerful in order to reap the benefits of what God promised you. And so what's important is understanding that if I'm really going to wait on the Lord, I know the devil is not going to let me wait on the Lord without challenging me. So if I am prayerful, God will keep me sharp and alert. And so I'll know what to look out for while I'm waiting on the Lord. And when the devil try to bring me this and try to bring me that and try and discourage me and bring me down and make me want to throw my hands up and surrender and say, God's taking too long, he must not will not answer me, I know that these are tricks from the enemy, because I've been talking to God and he has not vacated his throne. To wait on the Lord, you got to be prayerful. Somebody say prayerful. But not only after you are prayerful, you must also be patient. Patient. See, because when you get through talking to the Lord, you got to give him time to respond. And you get through talking to him. Look, Jeremiah said in the 33rd chapter, while you yet call on him, he can answer you. So you need to know there's no power with how quick God can respond. But sometime God is yielding his response to see what you're going to do in the process. You see, a lot of us release God from the blessing because he didn't answer immediately. And we start acting like non-believers who don't trust God. So therefore, we walk away from the prayer room and release God from doing what he promised because we don't believe he's going to do it because he hasn't done it. Got to be patient. Patient. Listen, God can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. So if he's not doing it right now, there's a good reason for it. And while I'm being patient, what I ought to do is check myself. Make sure that my life lines up with what God promised me. Make sure that I'm doing what he told me to do. Make sure that I'm in the place I'm supposed to be in, because the blessings can't flow if I'm not in place to receive them. And being patient means waiting right where he told me to wait until the day of deliverance, until he answers my prayer. Not get excited, anxious, worried, and leave and look, but wait. You see, when you get up and not be patient, you're really saying, Lord, I can't wait on you. You're taking too long. Maybe you don't know where I am, so let me look for the blessing instead of the blessing looking for you. God knows where you are. Don't let the devil play with your mind. And here's the third thing I want to tell you that'll help you to be patient and to help you wait on the Lord. The third thing is be persuaded. Well, what am I being persuaded about? That God is faithful. That God knows what he's talking about. That God's going to do what he promised he's going to do. I'm persuaded. That means there's no room for doubt, no room for negotiations, no room for changing my mind, no room for the enemy trying to make me believe God's going to do something else. He is the Lord. He changes not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, God said. Be persuaded. He don't come today, he'll be here tomorrow. Tomorrow comes and he don't show up tomorrow. Well, he didn't show up today, he'll be here tomorrow. Tomorrow shows up and he don't show up. He ain't come today, he'll be here tomorrow. Here's what you never lose sight of, the fact that he'll be here. Now, whether it's today or tomorrow, doesn't really matter, is he will be here. I'm persuaded he will be here. And my brothers and sisters, whenever you're in a situation where you need the help of God, you need God to rescue you, what helps you to hold on and have hope is the fact that God will show up sooner or later and rescue you out of your situation if you just trust him. Some of you have been going through some things for a mighty long time and God has not shown up yet, but there is a word: wait on him. See, that's what you've got to do. When you've done your part, you can't do no more. And if you can't do no more, then all you do is just wait on him. But they that wait upon the Lord, here's the first thing that's going to happen: shall renew their strength. Renew means to make new. And here's what the Lord will do. He will make new your strength. See, a whole lot of us have gotten weak because we've been in the battle too long. We've been fighting too long. We have used up all of our energy and our strength. But when we wait on the Lord has the ability, listen, to renew our strength, make it new again. Make it new. In other words, give you all of the strength that you need when you started, you had, but having used it in the battle, he then renews it. Makes it brand new again. Listen, and the enemy is still fighting with his old strength. But waiting on the Lord, God has renewed, made your strength new again. Oh, listen at this, my brothers and sisters. See, that's why some folk don't understand it.
when God renews their strength in the midst of their struggle. They call it a second wind. Ooh, I was tired. I didn't know if I was going to be able to go another step further. And then all of a sudden, I got a second wind. No, he renewed your strength. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. But he says that as he renews your strength, you will mount up with wings as eagles. And my brothers and sisters, eagles are regal birds. They're strong. They have wingspans of 6 to 7 feet long. Eagles have the ability to rise and to soar and to ride on the thermodynamics of the wind. And they are able, when they see with an eagle eye a storm approaching, they're able to ride above the storm. While there is trouble and issues all down on earth and everything seems to be torn up down there, the eagle has risen above the storm and just soars there. Ain't even got to flap, just ride. Just stretch his wings out and let the wind take him. He can soar for hours without ever flapping one wing. And all that don't mean nothing to you until you understand that God is able to keep you above the storm when you would have been destroyed in the storm. And for however long the storm is riding, he can allow you to ride above it. And by the time you land, what may not be well with the situation is well with you. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. Then he goes on to say, they shall run and not be weary. And now Isaiah likens this to a race. But he doesn't liken it unto a marathon race where you run long and where you run at spells that take up all of your energy, that causes you to press hard and many times faint under that weariness of tiredness. But then he doesn't liken it also to a sprint where you run quick and fast and short. But he likens it to running a relay. A relay, Pastor? Yeah, a relay. First, he renews your strength. Then he puts you in a relay race. I think I forgot to tell you that the Lord is the anchor man. And the race he puts you in, you're just before the anchor man. And you all know what a relay race is. You run to a certain point and then you pass the baton on to the next one. He gets it and run on to the next point, passes it on to the next one, and then he takes it on to the anchor man, who's usually your fastest and strongest man, and he takes it on for the win. I'm trying to tell you, while you're running, you got some issues in your hand, but you got to run to get it to the Lord. And if you could just get it in his hands, I wish I had a helper here. If you can just get your issues into his hand, pass it on to him. When he takes it over, he'll win the victory for you. Oh, I'm so glad to be on a team with God. Relay, 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 relay. But then after I've been on the relay team, then he says, and they shall walk and not faint. Walk and not faint. Getting weak. See, because we